Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three here on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. But you know the deal, third hour on a Wednesday, it can mean nothing more than the Grand Council. So I'm bringing in two of my brethren in talk radio, ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. So let me call the roll from up north, up yonder, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show, does stuff for Yellowhammer, has his own TV gig. Dale Jackson, are you there? Stand at ease. All right. Turning southward. Down yonder in the coastal regions of our state, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief for 1819 News, works with Breitbart, works with Lanyap. Oh, by the way, his name is Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad. War Eagle. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, let's just go ahead and kick her off. I'm going to Dale Jackson first. What you got, buddy?
So in the Alabama legislature, we went from a bill to ban Delta 8 and the next 10 derivatives that they're going to come up with in order to try to get marijuana under the tent here. And we're going to scuttle that, and instead we're going to try to pass a bill that legalizes and taxes it. Why don't we just go full bore and have recreational marijuana if we're going to play these stupid games?
Who's sponsoring that bill, by the way?
Smitherman.
Oh, there you go.
The first one was Melson. The ban was Melson. The taxation of it is Smitherman.
Well, you know, never let a good tax go to waste. I tell you what, Jeff, you kick in first. What do you think, man?
My understanding, Melson kind of killed his own bill, and he's got hemp farmers up in his district. This is kind of the chatter around the hallways here, and that this bill, I mean, there's other hemp farmers around, so it's ag, right? And that's what sort of the idea was, why they didn't just ban it outright, and now they're going to legitimize it.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that comes and goes. I mean, I saw hemp bills when I was down there. I read about hemp bills after I've left. It's like one of those recurring nightmares. And here's the bottom line: is they're going to find a way to tax it. I mean, this is Governor Ivey herself said, like with regards to gambling. Well, there's a lot of it going on. It appears to be illegal. We just need to regulate it so we can tax it. And that's what it always boils down to. Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I mean, I think you got it right there. We are just saying, hey, this thing sucks, and we shouldn't be having it done in this state, but let's do it anyway.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, and you'd like to think there was something else they could do that would be more meaningful. But by the way, Smitherman's the one carrying it. He has no majority. It's not like he's being asked to carry it by the pro tem so that he could have some, you know, some participation in a bipartisan function. I see it going nowhere, just to be honest. Well, hey. As long as we're talking about what's happening in state legislative action, apparently the state is now safer because Glock switches are now banned. Do you feel safer, Dale Jackson?
I don't necessarily feel safer, but I've come around on this a little bit, to be honest with you. If the locals are not getting the buy-in from the federal government to prosecute this kind of stuff, maybe they can add to it and add crimes and penalties to the people that are doing it on state level crimes. I mean, I get making it extra illegal and all this other stuff doesn't really do anything, but at least you get to fry the people that utilize these things on the state level. I've come around on this.
So you come around on it. So you have to get rid of your Glock switches now. You're going to have to sell them off on eBay.
Well, they're already illegal.
Jeff, you, what do you think, man? What's the mood down there about Glock? Was that fully bipartisan, by the way, or was it a fight?
No, it wasn't a fight at all. No one really stood up to it. Even like Shane Stringer, who's kind of the gun guy here, said he acknowledged, like, sometimes you just got to give them some symbolic victories. But I tell you what, guys, they need to show that we need to see reductions in crime, right? We need to see crime reduce. If this doesn't fix it, then somebody's got some explaining to do. Like, we had to do this. We just before we could pass go collect $200, we had to do this.
And that's a perfect
point. If there's not a tangible decrease in crime, that somebody needs to explain why we wasted so much time on this silly bill.
Well, that's exactly right. Not only did the legislature waste time, but it was even a part of the governor's State of the State address. I mean, big doings, part of her legislative agenda. But I look at it and I think the exact same thing. Show me the difference in crime. Because anybody who, I mean, and I realize that not everybody's got a lot of training on the street, but show me anybody who's used to handling a Glock and they can drop a magazine and reload and continue firing in pretty quick fashion. It may not blow out as quickly as it does with a Glock switch, but I just see this as one more example of trying to demonize the object as opposed to the criminal themselves. And if they're not going to be able to point to a dramatic reduction in, you know, gun violence, then what did you really accomplish except virtue signaling? It feels like a virtue signaling bill is what it feels like. Just my thoughts.
But doesn't it make more sense to let the state level law enforcement folks put people who do this stuff in jail for a longer time? I mean, isn't that the problem? We have the same people committing crimes time after time after time. And if one of them uses a Glock switch, lock them up for longer. And then maybe that will drive down the crime rate, but it won't be instantaneous, that's for sure.
Unless we start finding this thing sets precedent so they can begin using this as the capstone that gives them the ability to pursue. Like, what's next? 30-round magazines? What's next? You're going to suppressors? What's next?
Well, those aren't illegal on the federal level. Well, suppressors, maybe. But the 30-round magazine's not illegal on the federal level.
No, but what I'm saying is you start passing laws on one, and they get emboldened to pass laws on others, and then you have the fights continue. You're about to say something, Jeff?
Yeah, that's not the mood of the body right now. They're doing split sentences. They're not trying to lock people up longer. This is a virtue signaling effort. There's no reason to think there's anything but that, guys. I mean, we could try to, like, rationalize it, but it is simply they're trying to show that they're being proactive. And this is what, you know, because we have ill-run cities, the former Montgomery and Birmingham, and the police departments are train wrecks. This is like, well, if you just pass a Glock switch bill, and then the next thing, well, if we only had the constitutional carry repealed, you know, it's always going to be something like that.
Oh, yeah, it is. How about this? Why don't we just go follow the last train of logic from the first question and say, we're gonna regulate Glock switches so that we can tax them and then use the money to fund the drug task force. How about that?
Then they'll start promoting it. Put that before the tourism committee and start promoting it.
Last question, first round. Jeff Poore, what you got?
They're going to get away with this tax swap, right? And we're not going to be able to call the overtime tax exemption expiration a tax increase. No one's really, Anthony Daniels, I thought, has some strong words, but no one else is really following along on that, are they?
No, in fact, what's interesting is this overtime tax repeal or cut was a brilliant idea, and it even got national exposure. Didn't Trump talk about doing something similar at the federal level, or at least encouraging it? And they're just going to let it go. I mean, I really, every once in a while, I look at the legislature that we have right now, and I think, where are you guys? You have an absolute red state mandate, and yet you're just so determined to be centrist that it boggles the mind. Dale.
Well, I think part of it, you know, and like Jeff said, they are very, Anthony Daniels is very outspoken on this. He was on my radio show this morning. He's mad about it. He's saying this is going to cost people their legislative seats and stuff. I don't think that's the case. They passed other taxes. They say they're, you know, saving the same amount of money. It's a little bit of a bait and switch. The legislators are going to be able to say, well, we cut this much in taxes this time. And so I don't know how many, I hate to keep saying this, but what are the penalties to doing this?
It's smoke and mirrors. What are the penalties? Nothing until good people rally around the idea that you're watching a legislature that claims to do one thing and sometimes does another. So, bans on Glock switches, virtue signaling, doing away with overtime tax, just appears to be kowtowing. And I'm watching the whole VA fight still. You know, the governor was excited to sign her bill, and I'm wondering how in the world she has clout. I mean, where's the clout coming from on the lame duck governor's office? It's just, it boggles
the
mind.
Who's the constituency for ending the overtime tax exemption? Who is that?
The constituency is the legislature that wants more money. That's where it is. That's the constituency.
Well, guys, it is 2025 in Ruby Red, Alabama. And you have one Democrat who's going to be, his legacy is going to be cutting taxes and a Republican supermajority that is more interested in preserving the balance sheet than, you know, playing the ideological game. It is an upside down world.
Yeah, God forbid what they did was they let something go because they realized they'd given back more money than they thought they'd given back. Because that's what it boils down to. The cut was effective, and it was more effective than they realized it was going to be. And now they're worried because they gave away more people's gave more money back to the people than they meant to. And that's what it boils down to. All right, got to leave it right there. That's round one. Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come right back for round two. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so by the way, don't forget the Grand Council that we're in right now is brought to you by DeKalb MD Healthcare. DeKalb MD with direct primary care clinics in Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee, and I'll tell you more about them here in just a few minutes. But let me jump back in. Round two, question one. I am going first to Jeff this time. Jeff Poor, what you got?
The Tommy Tuberville for governor movement. A bit of a snag. Questions about his residency. There's some real legit stuff out there, and look, you know, Bill Britt, your friend there, wrote about it. But what you need to know about that, I don't think it's necessarily the substance, but the wolves are out. Somebody is called in the favors or written the checks, and they're trying to kill this in the womb. What do you think? Does this go on much further?
No, I don't think. I think it's going to play out pretty quick. And the fact that it played out this early is designed to try and keep him out. But, I mean, I think his residency has already been firmly established. There's not going to be an issue with that in the long run. And truthfully, Bill Britt, if somebody paid him enough money, he'd write a story saying the Pope was transgender. So I'm really not worried about what Bill Britt says.
If he's claiming a homestead exemption on his place in Florida, Coach Tuberville is, that's problematic. I don't know. We'll see when the stuff's starting to come out. And he's gonna have to explain it. And you know how it is, Senator, if you're explaining, sometimes you're losing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old phrase that if you're having to respond to what they say about you, then you're dancing to their tune. But I look at this and think if that were the case, it would have come out much harder earlier, I do believe. But, you know, we'll see. And then we got to also compare state laws. I mean, if he owns a beach house and he also owns a house here and they allow you to homestead one residence in Florida, I would love to know, is state law in alignment or are we just dealing with someone who's mad? Is Dale back on? Dale back. Hey, what do you think about it, man? Dale, is Tuberville's residency going to be an issue?
No, I don't think it is, actually. I mean, he'll be a senator for 6 years. At that point, it's going to be hard to make this argument. I don't think anyone in the public cares. It's just an attempt to, I guess, scare Tuberville into remaining United States Senate.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a matter of when he... It's going to be, Adele, we lost you there for a second, but I think it's going to be a matter of when he qualifies. I mean, it's not a matter of when he would take office. It's a matter of when he would qualify for office, I believe. And that's, a year plus out. You still there? Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. I can hear every word you're saying.
All right. Well, then ask your question. What you got for next?
All right. So we have a bunch of things happening with these stupid town halls in Chattanooga, Nashville, in Birmingham, you name it, in Huntsville. It's everywhere. And the real question is, are any of these congressmen dumb enough to show up? Like, now we had a guy in Nebraska do it. Same thing happened. People just started screaming at him. And now we have a bunch of clips of that happening. And it's all just a bunch of mad Republicans. That's what the media tells us, even though we know it's not true. When are they going to wise up and stop being stupid?
Listen, I mean, when I was in the state legislature, the teachers union, the AEA, would send you a card in the mail and say, Senator, this is your time to show up to meet with your teachers union. And I'm like, this is my time to show up? Like, you tell me where to be and when? And I actually went to him one time And I don't think they wanted me back after that because I basically gave them facts that they didn't want to deal with. But after that, I pretty much told them to pound sand that I would be glad to meet with them, but it was going to be a time when we prearranged a schedule. Don't go. These things are not designed for anything productive. They're designed to be clickbait. They're designed to be activist-driven, and there's no good can come of it. Jeff, your thoughts?
No, I like the way Congressman Strong and Congressman Adderholt are handling this, responding like we're not going to let you set off the trap you laid for us, and be defiant about it. Like the hell with these people, and call them out for what they're doing.
Yeah,
don't cower, don't run away from it, confront it directly head on the way they are, and I think you get more out of it than they would have anticipated.
I agree. In fact, I think your constituents look for that kind of thing. They want to see you standing up to it. Absolutely. All right, well, let me jump in, fellas. Just the last question here. I'm going sports. So Alabama is apparently the basketball mecca of the world right now. We've got Alabama State, of all things, playing against Auburn, and then we've got Troy is in. And then, of course, we got the University of Alabama in. And then South Alabama got hosed. They were in, and then they were out. But are we now a basketball state? Give me your thoughts on it. Jeff Porter, you're a huge sports fan. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I go to a lot of Auburn basketball games.
Do what?
I go to a lot of Auburn basketball games. I went to Duke to watch Auburn play. The reason, it's just sort of the business of sports center there. I think with the NIL now, SEC schools are just better at basketball. And it's not necessarily that Alabama's a basketball state, but I think the Southeastern Conference, because of money, is a basketball conference.
Well, we are definitely the basketball conference. 30 seconds, Dale Jackson. What do you think? Alabama, the mecca of basketball?
No, Auburn's lost 3 of 4. Alabama got drubbed by Florida. Florida will be the national champion.
So I let that happen just so that JP could hear you say that. And of course, we all disagree with you, but JP personally needed to hear that.
Unfortunately, Florida may win it all, so he may be right there.
Well, there's going to be no living with Dale Jackson if that happens. Guys, I appreciate both of you. There it is, the Grand Council, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Coming right back, I'll tell you about DeKalb MD and take us all the way to go home time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.